Well, welcome to week three of Level Up, and you can tell that it's week three because you just need to count the big characters up there. One, two, three. We're on week three. Another good job by our decorating team. Let's start by saying this. I really don't like to exercise. The last successful run I had with exercising workouts was when I was with a friend, and that died because we both were really didn't like exercise. We just knew we had to do it, and we were the only ones. The only reason we showed up was for the other guy. So if I try on my own, it's boring or potentially dangerous. Let me explain. I went to a fitness center one day and decided to try out the treadmill. It didn't look all that difficult, so I jumped on and I started walking. After a few seconds, I got bored with that slow speed, so I cranked it up a little faster. After jogging for a while, I decided to take it to its limit, set it as fast as it could go. And as I was sprinting at gazelle speed, I proudly looked around to make sure people saw how fast I was going. It didn't take long, however, for me to get tired. I couldn't keep the pace up. So what I do, I slowed down. Bad move. As soon as I broke my stride, the belt threw my feet into the wall behind me while the rest of my body landed on the treadmill with a thud. When I was finally able to roll off, I looked up and saw the person on the treadmill next to me shaking his head. Then he showed me what I should have done. All I needed to do was reach out and punch that big red stop button. That would have turned the treadmill off, and I could have safely adjusted my speed. That's the level we're going to explore today. That's the level, that's the phrase that we need to say, is that sometimes we need to unplug to recharge. It strikes me that many of us feel like we're on emotional treadmills. Our lives are going faster and faster, and we don't know how to slow down and slow the events of our lives down. Some of you wonder how much longer you can keep up the pace. Others of you have been thrown off, and you're not sure how to get back up. Just recently, someone told me that she felt overwhelmed and that her life felt like a carnival ride, spinning and whirling around. Isn't that a good description? If you've been to a carnival, you know that the point of most of the rides is to move you around really fast without actually going anywhere, and the rides only stop long enough to let other people on and off, and then they do that all over again. But busyness, which is what that is, busyness is the enemy of spiritual life, and I'm just asking you today, can you relate to that? And I'm betting you can. I'm going to take a look at an individual who was maxed out emotionally. He was running on empty. He had no margin in his life. After he took it to the limit, God intervened and in the process taught us a few things. The man's name is Elijah. Even though his story is found in the Bible, doesn't mean he had it all together. I think we've discovered that with talking about these biblical characters, haven't we? They don't have it all together. In fact, he experienced such a wide range of emotions. He had ecstatic exhilaration to the depths of despair. James describes him this way, and this is a good description. Elijah was a human being. A human being what? Even as we are. A person just like us. Events in his life read like modern-day case study and burnout. We don't have time this morning to summarize Elijah's entire life, but suffice it to say that he saw God do one miracle after another. I encourage you to look at 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19 for yourself. Chapter 17 describes how God sent ravens to feed him and how God miraculously provided food for him and a widow during a drought. And if that wasn't enough, Elijah even raised this widow's son from the dead. In chapter 18, there was a massive showdown with 850 pagan prophets and calls down the fire of God from heaven. Elijah's passion was to draw people's attention back to God. The Holy Spirit powered him up to be a super prophet. There was no level he couldn't master, but during this time of success, he used up a lot of physical, emotional, and spiritual energy. And then we come to 1 Kings 19. We see at least four sources of despair in Elijah's life that are often found in our lives today. He was drained by his victory. Now, Elijah was on a spiritual high. He was really pumped up after this amazing victory by calling fire down on Mount Carmel. And his jubilation 1 Kings 18:40 describes Elijah pulling a Forrest Gump by running ahead of Ahab in his chariot and arriving back at the palace before Ahab did. This wasn't a run on the treadmill. This was a 20-mile run through some really rough terrain. He was on a spiritual high and maybe thought that since all the false prophets were put to death, that Jezebel would be next. See, verse 1 tells us that Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Here's the deal. Instead of being impressed by Elijah, Jezebel was infuriated and flew into a rage, demanding his immediate execution. Look at verse 2. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely. By this time tomorrow, I do not make your life like that of one of them. We could translate her sentiments as, Elijah, you're a dead man. At that point, his life became consumed by fear. Jezebel's threat consumed his every thought and overwhelmed his faith. In his panic, he lost his handle on the power and provision of God, even though he had just experienced it in a mighty and superhuman way. Elijah should have just laughed at that, because her gods had just been exposed as powerless a few verses back. Instead of chuckling, he ran for his life. Just hours after he was riding an emotional high, he was knocked flat off the treadmill and headed into an emotional tailspin. Fear replaces faith. His focus shifted from God to the problem. He tucks his tail between his legs, runs to Beersheba, which, to let you know, is as far south as you can go in Israel. This threat from Jezebel had shaken him to the core. And instead of praying to God for help, like he had always done before, he bolted. Elijah was stuck in emotional overdrive. He was driven, he was fatigued, he was tired, he was exhausted, weary, burned out, anxious, and running on empty. Elijah ran for an entire day until he saw a small tree and collapsed in its shade. In his ditch of despair, he prayed that he might die in verse 4. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. He let self-pity cultivate a victim mentality within himself. He had succumbed to the poor me syndrome. Elijah had completely forgotten that God's presence was with him under this scraggly desert tree, just as much as it had been when he was on top of the mountain calling fire down. His presence was the same. Elijah had forgotten that. In his state of despair and dismay, Elijah, physically and emotionally utterly exhausted, fell sound asleep. I know that some of you have been going through some incredibly tough times. Like Elijah, you may want to give up, that you have no more to give. You may feel like you've tried to do the right thing, but you just don't get anywhere. Before you throw in the towel, I want to show you the process that God brought Elijah through to help him regain emotional margin in his life. And maybe we can learn a lesson from that. And so the question is, how did Elijah unplug to recharge? And one way is to find moments of rest. Instead of telling him to suck it up and snap out of it, God doesn't do that. God knew that the most important medicine Elijah needed at that moment was rest. God didn't give him a sermon. God didn't shower him with shame. Elijah had collapsed under the tree and fallen asleep in utter exhaustion. Because God loves us, he is with us at all times and knows all of our hiding places. God sent a messenger to provide comfort for Elijah, as seen here. At once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then laid out again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." Our bodies were designed to rest. Don't be afraid to slow down the pace of your life. Try to set aside time every day for quiet and rest. Unplug. When we're emotionally strung out, it's easy to think that everyone, even God, seems distant. The voices in our head tell us that. Nobody cares. God's not even here with me. After regaining his strength by physically resting, here's what happens in verse 8. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Whoa. While this mountain was a few hundred miles away, There's no way it would have taken him 40 miles or 40 days and 40 nights to get there. This just shows that fear forced Elijah to go through more than he needed to. The same is true for us. When we're afraid or discouraged, we tend to wander aimlessly and take much longer to get where God wants us to be. Elijah used to be in step with God, listening to him, doing what he said. But now Elijah has lost his rhythm. God's desire for Elijah and for us is to recognize our burnout comes from physical exhaustion, but also comes from spiritual neglect. So how do we maintain that connection with God? Let me ask you this. Remember the maybe some of you that liked school aren't going to relate to this, but remember the excitement of a snow day? Oh, see, that made you feel good, didn't it? Doesn't that make you feel good? Getting up early to check the TV scroll, your school is listed, bam! You jump back into bed, you sleep as late as you want. When you wake up, an entire day waits for you, a blank canvas to create a masterpiece on. That's Sabbath. It's a holy snow day. And God gives you 52 of them a year. At its core, the Sabbath is one day each week set aside for rest, connection with God, and spending time with your closest relationships. It's a mirroring of what God did first, right? He showed us that. After creating the world, the Bible says that God rested from his labors and made that day holy. Don't get caught up on what day of the week that is, please. There are too many people that argue about this. Just know that it's time that God has given you to set aside. Now, the problem is the biggest roadblock to Sabbath for me wasn't mental but practical. How do I actually do this, right? Well, I learned by being a thief. I read about it. I talked to other people who were practicing it successfully. But as a reminder, we live in a culture that invites us to constantly compare ourselves to others, so that's a dangerous thing. Don't do that. But at least observe behaviors that maybe you could mirror. Other people's practices are examples of what a Sabbath could look like. They aren't your measuring stick. Find ways to rest, find ways to connect with God, and spend time with others that work for you. Here are a few examples. Make something. Eat only healthy snacks. Walk slower. That's one of my favorites. And because you don't realize how fast you're walking somewhere until you physically think about it. So take a day to walk slower. Cook something. Go outside. Whatever it is, unplug to recharge. And then let's talk about the electronic elephant in the room. Screen time. Here are a couple of scary stats. The average cell phone user touches their phone 2,617 times a day. 71% usually sleep with or next to their mobile phone. Yeah. I'm surprised it's only 71%, frankly. And finally, 47% of parents surveyed believe their child has a smartphone addiction. Sabbath creates margin in our lives. Technology is amazing, but can also be a barrier to mental health. If a whole day of Sabbath freaks you out, start with an hour. Start with 2 hours. Unplugging to recharge means physically resting, but taking Sabbath time to connect with God is a huge antidote to burnout. Sabbath is a time that to be reminded that as those who are created by God, we are to depend on God for what we need. That's the reminder that Sabbath is for us, okay? How was Elijah reminded that he needed to depend on God? While Elijah was in his cave, a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then it happened. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When the wind was gone, when the earth stopped trembling, and when the fire died out, there was utter stillness on that mountaintop. The contrast between the noise and the silence was uncanny and unsettling. And in the intensity of that awesome silence came a whisper. It was the voice of God. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. When Elijah heard the soft voice of God, he got out of his cave of self-pity. This shows that he was awestruck by God's holy and majestic whisper. The events on the mountain were the things that brought him back to connection with God. You see, like us, Elijah needed to come out of his cave in order to discover, rediscover God. He needed to learn that God was with him when things were going well, and that God was with him when things were tough. Hearing God's whisper reminded Elijah that God was still in control of all the circumstances. If we want to rediscover God, it's important to emotionally downshift. We need to remove some of the noise and clutter from our lives. Sabbath is a way to accomplish that. God is hard to hear when we're so inundated with other things. He doesn't always appear to us with a big display in the sky. He makes himself real by letting us know that he's right here. But we have to be quiet enough to hear him. God's power was not in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire. His power was in his word, the still, small voice of God, unplugged to recharge. You can hear so much clearer when you unplug the distractions and you dive into God's arms. Elijah was alone. He was isolated in his despair. Even though he was well-rested and had rediscovered God, he was still alienated from others. Before I go on, so you've got the rest part, you've got the reconnecting with God, rediscovering God, however you want to phrase that. I was hesitant to talk about this morning, but then I remember I'm with Christian brothers and sisters, and they're not going to think I'm weird. You're going to think I'm weird, but not for this reason. This morning, has anybody ever woken up tired? Yeah, this is one of those mornings. And Ilsa was sleeping, and I knew it was probably time to get up. And my practice is I do a shared devotion with my Saturday group. And, well, YouVersion has this thing where you can play the devotion and listen to it with my Bluetooth headset. Well, this series, we're going through the whole book of Luke. So this is Luke chapter 4. There's a lot. Take a look at Luke chapter 4. There's a lot of stuff that happens there. So my mind was like worrying and just thinking about all the stuff. And there's one instance in there where Jesus goes to the mountain to pray. Because, he's confronting people. He's doing miracles. It's like a Hollywood movie. So I'm laying there thinking about that and thinking, gosh, I don't know if I'm up to the task today. I don't know if I've got it within me. So I just close my eyes and, it's a lazy way to do a devotion. Just let me tell you. I'm not going to judge you if you do it, but I started to go back to sleep. And I don't think that's a good way to, so I'm not going to do that anymore. Maybe. But here's the weird part. I'm laying there, and I'm drifting off to sleep, and I physically felt a tapping on my shoulder. I mean, it wasn't a muscle twitch. I know what those are. I've had them. This was and I looked over, and I thought, Ilsa, how did you reach from the right side of the bed over me and tap me like that? Well, she was out to the, three sheets to the wind. Point being, God said, it's time to get moving. You've got a job to do today. You've got a word to deliver today. And if that wasn't God and it was a muscle twitch, whatever. But it sure brought to light when I heard Mary say, you call us to always be watchful for your word of wisdom, sometimes startling and unexpected. Bam. That's what that was. And then the other one is sometimes still and quiet. But what's the difference? But what's the sameness there? Always dwelling among us. And so that made me have to tell you that story. Because it was startling and unexpected. But in retrospect, I'm thinking, no, it's pretty much what I knew God would say to me. Get up. It's time to get up. You've done your devotion, But he didn't condemn me for the laziness of the devotion, which is good news. So he's well rested. He rediscovered God. But still, he was alienated from other people. And you think Elijah's on a real upswing. Well, he is, but there's going to be a little downturn. Not as bad as Samson, but there's a little downturn. Elijah was only partially recharged. See, because even after he got his rest, even after he restored his rhythm with God and by hearing God's voice, Elijah answers God when he asks him the second time, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Oh, my goodness, Elijah. Elijah's pity party and stinking thinking isn't gone yet. He metaphorically went back into the cave, didn't he? Notice he had the wrong mindset. He thought he had to carry the burden of the world on his shoulders. He thought he was all alone, but notice this is what God says next, and this is beautiful. Hey, listen, Elijah, there are 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. God is telling Elijah to reset your mindset. In other words, did I skip one? Yeah. Oh, I missed a verse. There it is. So God is telling Elijah to reset your mindset. In other words, you're not alone. Let me explain it this way. What do you see in this picture? Just shout out an answer. Blood, ink. What? Somebody say something. Black hole. Okay. How come you all focused on the blob in the middle? There's way more white space than there is dark in this image. Now that I point that out, what do you see? I just changed and allowed you to reset your mindset. That's what God had to do with Elijah. Elijah was only focused on the negative. He was only focused on being alone. To recharge, he needed something else. God reset his mindset. If you're feeling bogged down by life, if you feel like you're at the end of your rope, if you feel like you don't have any more fuel in the tank, you clearly need to rest, physically and spiritually. But you can't just stay there in isolation. You can't just do your devotion in bed and lay down. With a new mindset, you can see there are others who may be able to help you carry the burden that you're trying to carry by yourself. You'll see the value of community that can support you emotionally and spiritually. Lastly, to unplug, to recharge, you need other people. You need healthy relationships. God has designed all of us with an innate need for relationships and to live in community with others. There's perhaps no more effective way to relieve emotional pain than to be in contact with another human being who understands what you're going through. Elijah was lonely. In response, God tells him to anoint two kings and a new prophet whose name was Elisha. For the next 6 to 8 years, Elisha was Elijah's assistant. He was Elijah's companion, observing the main prophet's daily work, all the while preparing for his own turn as God's prophet. God provided him a friend. And he'll do that for you. There's a lot of loneliness in this world. And it can lead to that cave of despair, to that cave of loneliness, to that cave of anger. So rest, both physically and spiritually. Reconnect with God. Reset your mindset and build healthy relationships. That is the core and the cure of burnout. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you that you are with us always. Always with us. Whatever you need to do to get our attention, Lord, we ask you to do that. Whether it be through your still, small voice or whether it be through something startling and unexpected, we want to be in communion with you. We want to be in communion with others. That's what we're commanded to do, to love you and to love others, and we want to take up that banner. Starting right here, right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.